Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight, we're going to pay a visit to the spirit world. When we look around at our world today in 2021, there is lots of demonic activity. You can feel it just about everywhere you go, but there is not a whole lot you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears, even though we read a lot about this in the Bible. Colossians 1, 15 through 17 say this, who is talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are pulling the cover off of the unseen spirit world in the Bible. And when we do, we find that there is non-stop, around-the-clock activity taking place. We just can't see it. Not yet, anyway. Tonight, we will look at angels and devils, fallen angels and giants, and the whole host of heaven to see what we might find there. What we will find will not be hard to understand, but it just might, for some of you, be a little bit hard to believe. Welcome to the spirit world. It will make you very glad that you're saved. Trust me on that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered. We thank you, Lord, how you expanded our ministry, Lord, and you take us around the world multiple times, 7, 8, 9, 10 times around the world, Father God, we're grateful for that, Lord. We appreciate that. And Lord, tonight we're going to go into the spirit world, and we ask you, Lord, to cover us with a hedge of protection as we open up our King James Bibles and we see within the pages of your preserved words that there's a lot of activity going on that we can't see. There's a lot of things happening just in that next dimension. And your word is the filter which reveals that to us. And that's amazing, God. It's amazing that you have taken the revelation of your coming King, Jesus Christ, and his coming kingdom. And you have prepared this kingdom for him from before the foundations of the world. And your book is the revelation of that. And we thank you and we praise you and we commit this time to you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome everybody. Glad that you're here tonight. Good to see so many smiling, happy faces in the chat room. And I apologize this morning, the chat room third-party plugin, it malfunctioned. It had nothing to do with our website. We were not being hacked. A number of you wrote to me and were concerned that perhaps our website had been hacked. It had not been hacked. We have very, very good protection with our website, and the Lord watches over it night and day. It's kind of funny. We get, let me tell you how many attacks that we get on a daily basis. This will kind of blow your mind a little bit. And this has nothing to do with the Bible study, but you just might find this interesting. The amount of times on a daily basis that people try to break into the back end of Now the End Begins to take it down, to do whatever mayhem that they're going to do, whatever the case may be. And I think that that is part of the spirit world as well. In the last 24 hours, our website has allowed 127.9 thousand requests in a positive manner. that's 97.2% of all web traffic to Now the End Begins was positive, normal, good web traffic. And the other 2.8%, which amounts to 3.6 thousand times in the last 24 hours that people tried to break into the back of Now the End Begins through fake bots, bad bots, dedicated denial of service attacks, you name it. We get thousands of times per day, every single day. And we can't see those attacks. That's part of the spirit world. The internet is part of the spirit world. Everywhere that you look, the spirit world is beginning to merge with our world. Elon Musk said a couple of years ago that human beings functionally are already part cyborg. And why did he say that? Because we carry our mobile devices everywhere that we go. They are part of everything that we do. We check the weather. We check phrases. We look up recipes. I mean, think of how many dozens and dozens of times per day you pull up that magic box that is attached to you everywhere that you go. You sleep next to it. It's next to you when you drive in the car. It's in your hand constantly. You work with it. You play with it. You interact with other people through it. And that is the spirit world as well. But tonight we're going to go in and we're going to look at fallen angels. We're going to look at the Genesis 6 giants. We're going to look at angels like Gabriel and Michael. We're going to look at Daniel and Job and Jude. And also we're going to look at Judas. We are going to take a look at Judas tonight. Absolutely. Take a look at Judas. It's funny. Right before I kind of worked up a sweat right before the program started because, and I forget who posted this in the comment section of another article, but somebody sent a picture that hangs in the office of Pope Francis at the Vatican, and it is a picture of, well, an artist rendering of a naked Jesus Christ who just got off the cross, and he is ministering to the dead body of Judas Iscariot. And the idea being is that Jesus forgave Judas for his betrayal. And that is something that Pope Francis absolutely believes. That is something that a huge section of the Roman Catholic Church believes, that Jesus forgave Judas. And it's called Judas and the Scandal of Mercy. And the official Vatican newspaper, L'Osservatore Romano, they write in glowing terms of the fact that Pope Francis believes that Jesus Christ forgave Judas the traitor. And we're going to talk about Judas the traitor tonight. And guess what? God did not forgive Judas. When Judas died, Acts chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that Judas went to his very own special place. And why did he go there? Acts 1:25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. It is a doctrine of devils to believe that Jesus forgave Judas, who is a type of Antichrist. Judas is the son of perdition, and Judas will be returning as Antichrist. Will Jesus forgive Judas at the great white throne judgment? Absolutely not. Will Jesus forgive the devil and the beast and the dragon and Satan and the false prophet? Absolutely not. Will God forgive people who take the mark of the beast during the time of the great tribulation? 100% absolutely not. Revelation 14 tells us the fate of anyone and everyone who takes the mark of the beast. Revelation 14:9 through 13. Revelation 14:9 through 13. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And that's part of the spirit world as well. If you find yourself, if you miss the rapture and you find yourself in the great tribulation, do not take the mark of the beast. Do not worship the name, the number, or the image of the beast. Because the Bible clearly says that if you do that for any reason, and it doesn't matter why, maybe you're a young mother who needs to take the mark of the beast so she can buy food to feed her baby. That doesn't matter. God will not forgive the mark of the beast. He will not forgive if you worship his name, his number, his image. There will be no forgiveness for that. Don't listen to John MacArthur. John MacArthur is lying to you. Now, I know that some of you who come on here listen to John MacArthur, but you've got to be really, really careful. You've got to be so crazy careful because John MacArthur teaches things that are not true. And one of the things that John MacArthur teaches, I am not saying anything bad about him personally. I don't even know him personally. But I'm concerned with what he teaches, and he absolutely says that a Christian could take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. Now, we've played this clip many times before, but since we're talking about it, we're talking about the spirit world tonight. Take a listen to this.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell. My question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes, otherwise there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to it, to permanency, any more than you.
And there you have it, John MacArthur saying that you can take the mark of the beast and God will forgive you. I would love to debate John MacArthur on that topic sometime. I really would. And mostly just to be able to straighten him out and correct him on that very, very dangerous and false teaching that he continues. I mean, he said that back in 2013, and he continues to promote that false teaching. I told you last year when I did that article, I called up his secretary, and I spoke with her, and she confirmed that John MacArthur absolutely teaches that, and there has been, as she told me, there has been no change in his position. Well, there should be, because that is a false teaching. Tonight, we're looking at the spirit world. We're going to look at fallen angels and giants and demons and devils. We're going to look at good angels, bad angels, and we're going to look at how they interact with human beings. It's going to be a wild ride. Glad you're here. And aren't you glad that you're not going to hell? I certainly am.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, says he, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Amen. Amen. Can you say that? Can you sing that with full assurance? I hope so.
Now my life's worth living. Amen. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying. He's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Are you going to heaven when you die? You are if you're saved. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, immediately after the rapture, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us Antichrist is revealed on the heels of the rapture of the church. Antichrist comes with signs and lying wonders. The people who rejected the gospel of the grace of God while the church was still on the earth are rebuked. Those same people are given a strong delusion, and those same people are all damned to hell. Wow, that's hard. That is tough, tough, hard Bible truth. But it's right there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that is why we preach and we teach the gospel of the grace of God. That's why we go out in the streets and we hand out gospel tracts. That's why I do this ministry literally 7 days a week, 12 hours per day. Why? Because the Bible is true, and people die and go to hell, and hell is a real place with actual flames. Don't listen to Billy Graham. Don't listen to Franklin Graham. Don't listen to the evangelicals that tell you that hell is just separation from God. That's a lie. That's not true. Hell is a place of burning flames that is filled with endless torment. That's what hell is. And that's why we preach, and that's why we teach in Luke chapter 16. Remember what happened to the rich man who died and went to hell? Well, Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, Luke 16, 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. That is what hell is. Does your preacher preach at least 2 sermons per year on the nature and the physical location of hell? Well, he should. And if he doesn't, you might want to respectfully bring that up. That's one of the things that most of the churches in our day have stopped preaching about. They don't want to talk about hell because it's a scary place. Because hell implies judgment. And guess what? That's exactly what's coming. Judgment. And the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is a judgment. The time of Jacob's trouble is a judgment. The time of the great tribulation is absolutely, no question about it, is a judgment. And people don't want to talk about hell because it implies judgment. And that's exactly what God's going to do. He's going to judge the entire world. I hope you're ready, because judgment's coming.
Soldier bound for soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior come. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior come.
Amen. Paul says that we may please him who has chosen us to be a soldier. And I hope that that's your heart's desire today, that you would want to please the Lord Jesus Christ, who has chosen you when he saved you to be a soldier. I spent some time over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, on a website called kjvpictures.com, and there's a great YouTube channel that goes with it. And the artist over at kjvpictures.com is our very own Lotan Critchman. And very, very talented artist and video creator. And if you have the time, bookmark kjvpictures.com. Fantastic website. Again, Lotan, he runs it. He does the art. He's a very talented Hollywood artist that got saved and decided to use his talent for the Lord. So please visit KJVpictures.com. Tremendous, tremendous work that he's doing. And at some point, I would love to see a collaboration between Now the End Begins and KJVpictures.com. And hopefully, Lotan will be open to that. But I could certainly see us working together again. KJVpictures.com. Check it out. You will definitely get a blessing from it. Tonight, we're going to take a deep dive into the spirit world, and we're going to look at what we find there. There's going to be some scary things, but that's okay, because there's nothing in the Bible that is off limit to the born-again Christian. You can look at anything. You can look at fallen angels and giants. You can look at Satan. You can look at whatever you want to look at, and the Bible puts it there for us to look at, so that we can educate and inform ourselves, so that we can read the revelation of God, and we can know what the spirit world is all about. And God does not want us to be ignorant of these things. He wants us to understand the spirit world. And so it is there for us to take a look at, and tonight we're going to take a deep dive into the spirit world, and we're going to see what's going on there. And it's a fascinating place. It really, really is. And you will see the reaction to a lot of people in the Bible when they interacted directly with the spirit world. We're going to be getting started in just a couple of minutes.
Feet up. gates of gold I now am walking, just passed by the tree of life, took a drink of living water flowing down from God on high. I now see the hallelujah square
and the mansion that won't grow old, and I cry,
I've made it, thank God I've made it, my feet have touched the streets of gold.
Now my earthly life is over, I have made the narrow way,
and the crown of life I'm wearing down the streets of gold today.
I'm now touring that holy city, shouting down an endless road, and I cried,
I've made it, thank God I've made it, my feet have touched the streets of gold. Streets of gold I now am walking, just passed by the tree of life, took a drink of living water flowing down from God on high. I now see the hallelujah square
and the mansion that won't grow old, and I cried,
I've made it, thank God I've made it, my feet have touched the streets of gold. Streets of gold I now am walking, just passed by the tree of life, took a drink of living water flowing down from God on high. I now see the hallelujah square.
Amen. Amen. It's going to be a glorious day when we're called up to the clouds to be with Jesus Christ. And you're going to be so glad you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and got saved. Because that's the only way you're going to make it. Let's get started.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and ask for your blessing on tonight's Bible study. We are so glad, God, that you've given us your preserved words. And Lord, we're so grateful for the King James Bible, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And we need that power tonight, Lord, as we go into the spirit world, the spirit realm, and watch over us, Lord, and keep us safe as we journey, and show us these things which must soon come to pass, Lord. And I pray if there's one listening tonight, somebody who's lost, they saw the advertisement for tonight's program, and they're excited by the spirit world. We pray, Lord, any lost people listening tonight, that something would be said and done that would lead a lost person to you in full pardon and forgiveness of their sins, Lord. And we're so grateful for the harvest that you've been giving us. Father God, we're grateful for the people who come to Now the End Begins, and they're getting a burden, and they're getting on fire, and they're witnessing, and they're preaching, and they're sharing our links, and people are getting saved. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And we're so grateful and we're so thankful, God, that this ministry is bearing fruit for you. And Lord, this ministry is not about me, has nothing to do with me. It's about Jesus Christ and Him high and lifted up. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we preach the gospel of the grace of God, how that Jesus Christ was crucified, died and buried, and risen again on the third day according to the scriptures. And we thank you, God, that you protect this ministry, you provide for this ministry, you expand this ministry, and the best part is lost people are getting saved. And we pray that that continues, Father. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before we get started tonight, I have a couple of things I just have to talk about. First thing is, and this wasn't even sent to me directly. I just saw it on Twitter. And nobody knows who these people are, but a couple, a man and woman, a husband and wife out in Houston, Texas, they posted this billboard. People are getting excited about the NTEB billboard program, and they took it upon themselves to post this beautiful yellow billboard that says, "Are you saved? A, admit that you're a sinner, Romans 6:23. B, believe Jesus is Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. C, call upon his name, Romans 10:9 and 10. And then in the bottom right-hand corner, they put a link to nowtheendbegins.com. And how great is that, that somebody would do that? I hope you guys are listening tonight. And it's this billboard. It's the same color, and I know this is intentional. There's a smaller sign that says JP Liquor, Beer, and Wine. And this billboard is the same color as the liquor sign, but much, much, much larger. And in the bottom right-hand corner, they put nowtheendbegins.com in the bottom right-hand corner. And that's just whoever you are. Thank you very, very much. And we really appreciate that. And that's exciting. That's very exciting today. That really encouraged me. I was having a rough morning this morning and having a little bit of a pity party. And so it was really, really good to see the encouragement that came in the form of that. And I rejoiced seeing that billboard. Made me very happy. The second thing that encouraged me to a very, very high degree is Thomas Santos. This is his testimony. Take a listen to this. Thomas Santos posted this about 7 hours ago, and he said, "Just moments ago, I got the news that a friend of mine down in Texas accepted Christ and got baptized." "How did he find Christ?" Thomas asks. "It was because the Lord, over the last few months, has led me, Thomas, to repost NTEB's salvation article, and my friend told me that's how he found Christ." Thomas says, I'm standing in a Costco in New York, and I'm overwhelmed of the lengths and heights the Lord can use to advance the gospel. I give him all the glory and credit in this. And he says, please pray for my friend and pray that the Lord will give him guidance on his new journey in Christ. So how exciting is that? How exciting is that? Thomas Santos, this article that he's talking about, it's if you go to the website and go to the About section, it's listed under Free Gift. And this was one of the very first articles that I ever wrote for Now the End Begins years ago. And it says, eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is a free gift that you can receive right now. And Thomas took this article and he shared it, and his friend, now Thomas lives in New York, and his friend lives in Texas, and his friend read that article and got saved. Just last week, Arthur, he wrote to me to tell me that he started listening to Now the End Begins, and it played a huge part in his recent salvation. And so we have fruit abounding to our account all over the place. And I love doing these Bible studies, and I love doing the podcasts and the articles, and I'm really looking forward to launching the bookstore on May 21st, Lord willing. I'm really looking forward to our camp meeting and all the things that we're doing together as the NTEB family. But there is nothing that thrills my soul more than seeing lost people get saved, and God is using this ministry to bring people to himself. And I want you to really let that sink into your heads, that this is not just an end times ministry where we're teaching people about Bible prophecy. This is the place, now we're definitely doing that, but this is the place where lost people get saved. That's what it's all about. That is what it is all about. And that has to be the main platform of any Christian ministry. Are you witnessing and preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God so that lost people hear the gospel and get saved? That is what ministry is all about. The Bible says this about preaching and teaching. It says this in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, how then, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And when you pray for this ministry, you have a part when people get saved. When you contribute and donate to this ministry, you have a part when people get saved. For those of you who send in money every single month so that we can give Bibles out to people for free, you have a part in this ministry. And it takes every single level of every part of the body of Christ, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, the nose, the mouth. It takes every single part of the body of Christ. We are all called to do different things. And it takes every single part of the body of Christ to effectively witness and minister, to see lost people get saved, and to see saved people taught the Bible. So I'm just a little bit excited tonight. I'm a little bit on fire tonight. Looking at that billboard picture, that really charged me up. Listening to Thomas's testimony of how he shared one of our links and his friend got saved. Arthur got saved last week, and people like Donna and June and so many other people who are part of our NTEB family, they got saved right here through this ministry. And we give all the honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And isn't it so glad to be used in that way for the furtherance of the gospel? And that's why we talk about this poem, and it's not scripture. I sure do talk about it a lot, but that poem by C.T. Studd, "Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only once done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave, and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasures on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last." So I wanted to just start our Bible study tonight by rejoicing in some of the fruit that the Lord is producing through us, and as we faithfully follow what our Apostle Paul tells us, the direction that we need to be walking in, and the type of life. We did a Bible study just a couple of days ago on following the Apostle Paul. He said, "Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ." And we looked at what a rough path that can be. But just like Acts chapter 16, that Philippian jailer and his whole family got saved because Paul and Silas were willing to follow Jesus Christ into the prison. And that's what we need to be willing to do as well, to follow Jesus Christ anywhere he leads us. And when we do that, when we're obedient to the Lord, we're going to see souls get saved. And we are having a little bit of a revival here at Now the End Begins, and I pray that that continues. I love to see people get saved. All right, let's start with tonight's Bible study. Turn to the book of Jude. And there are so many places that we could be going to start our study tonight. Jude is a fantastic place to start because Jude has a lot to say about the spirit world. And if you're a regular listener to our Monday and Friday Prophecy News podcast, we've been talking a lot lately about the Genesis 6 giants. We've been talking about the fallen angels and the days of Noah. And that's a theme that we've gotten on that theme, and we're not getting off that theme because the Genesis 6 giants are here. They have returned. And we're going to talk about that tonight, too. A lot of people, most of you know when I say the phrase Genesis 6 giants, most of you know what I'm talking about, but we have a lot of new people. So we will be going over that as well. Jude chapter 1, and we're just going to go through it's only one chapter. I say chapter 1, but there's only one chapter. We're just going to go through a couple verses here. Jude 1:1. "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needed for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. And the angels," here we go, spirit world, "and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So here we have in Jude, the first seven verses of the book of Jude, we read about angels that did not keep their first estate, which is heaven. The Bible says that angels are part of the host of heaven. Have you ever heard that expression, all the heavenly host and the host of heaven? Have you ever thought about what that meant? Host of heaven? It occurs 99 times in the Bible. The very first time it appears is Deuteronomy 4:19. Deuteronomy 4:19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord God had divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. So the very first place that the term host of heaven appears in the Bible, we see that heaven is populated with a lot of, I don't know what you would call them. Would you call them entities? Would you call them creatures? Would you call them spirit beings? Jeremiah 33:22 says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me. So the host of heaven, it cannot be numbered. Why? Because there are so many entities that God created that live in heaven. We know that there are angels, and we know that there are seraphim and cherubim, and we know that Satan was one of the cherubim. He was the fifth angel that covering cherub is what he was, and he was the fifth one. And he fell from that position. Isaiah chapter 14 gives us the heads up on that. Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12, Isaiah 14:12. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And we read that Lucifer, he fell. And he decided that he was going to overthrow God. And the Bible talks about angels. The Bible talks about seraphim and cherubim. And it talks about all of these different types of creatures in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 10. There's a lot of that action going on in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 10, we read this in verse 3. Ezekiel 10:1. Ezekiel 10:1. Then I looked, And behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire of stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels even under the cherub, and fill thine hands with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house where the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. So we see that there are all sorts of creatures that make up the host of heaven. And Lucifer was one of those created beings. And in fact, Lucifer was the most magnificent being that God created. And the Bible says that he had pipes built into his voice, and when he opened his mouth, music came out. And can you imagine how amazing that must have been? Well, Lucifer, whose name means light bearer, he was lifted up with pride when he saw how beautiful he was, how beautiful that God made him. And he decided that he was going to take what God had. And that's when sin entered into the world. Now, we were talking in the book of Jude, we were talking about the fallen angels. And Jude tells us, in the only chapter of his book, Jude 1:6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to read about what these fallen angels did. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, here we see in Genesis chapter 6, that strange flesh that Jude talks about. Jude says that these angels left their first estate. They didn't stay where God had put them. And they came down and they took part of strange flesh. Well, there you are, Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to look at the fallen angels and the Genesis 6 giants. That's our first stop tonight as we take a quick trip through the spirit world. Stay with us. We're just getting started. And we're back, and tonight we're taking a trip into the spirit world, and we're looking at the fallen angels and the Genesis chapter 6 giants. Candy has a question in the chat room. She says, how do you know that the sons of God in Genesis 6:2 are fallen angels? Why do you think the Lord didn't make it more clear that that's who they are? Even verse 4 can be interpreted as giants being a separate group from the sons of God. Now, Candy, that's a good question. The first thing that you notice right off the bat, Genesis 6:2 says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and took them wives of all which they chose. Genesis 6:4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them. So right there, God is using a repeating phrase, and he's trying to draw your attention to it. The sons of God is one category of entity, and the daughters of men are another category of entity. And here, Moses, who wrote this, is being very, very careful to make a clear distinction between the sons of God and the daughters of men. These sons of God are the same sons of God that we see in Job chapter 1. Turn to the book of Job. And let's take a look in the book of Job about the sons of God. Job chapter 1, verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and escheweth evil. And then it talks about Job's family and Job's children. But now look down in verse 6, Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? So it's very clear that these sons of God are not on the earth. These sons of God are in heaven. And the sons of God are before the Lord, and Satan is also with them. So what picture is Job painting in verses 6, 7, and 8? Well, remember we were using that phrase, the host of heaven? Well, this is the host of heaven. All the sons of God and Satan and God the Father and everybody is up in heaven. And Job 1:6 says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. We know that that is taking place in heaven. Now, it may confuse you where the Bible also says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, these sons of God, in 1 John 3:2, these are spiritual sons of God that are created when somebody becomes born again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. When did that happen? When you got saved, when you got born again, when you were put into a spiritual kingdom. That spiritual kingdom is called the kingdom of God. It is not the same as the kingdom of heaven. And we are in a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. And that's what John is talking about in 1 John 3:2 when he says, beloved, now are we the born again saved people. Now are we the sons of God. So that is a very, very clear distinction from what we read about in Job chapter 1, where we see that the sons of God are presenting themselves before the Lord. Now, go back to Jude where we started. Go back to Jude where we started, and this is what happened to some of those sons of God. Jude 1:6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication with women, and going after strange flesh. Now, to us humans, females are not strange flesh. But if you're an angel from heaven, and you have kept not your first estate, and you have fallen from heaven, women, human women, are absolutely strange flesh. But the key to understanding that is right in Genesis 6:2 and 6:4, where Moses is making a very clear distinction between the sons of God and the daughters of men. Very, very clear. Carolyn says, I thought Satan was not allowed in heaven. He hasn't been kicked out yet, but he will be. He absolutely will be. And he will be removed because when you and I go up in the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that glorious appearing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the day where we're going up in the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. So we see clearly that there was a time when angels, literal, actual angels from heaven that Jude says did not keep their first estate. They left their home. And what happened? They came down to the earth. They had sex with human women. And they created a race of demonic hybrids, which God destroyed in the flood. But they are going to come back. Why? How do I know that they are going to come back? Because Jesus says that they're going to come back. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I don't know how those fallen angels are coming back. I don't know how those Genesis 6 giants are coming back, other than God himself is going to bring them back as part of judgment on this world. I do know that in Revelation chapter 6, and I was talking with a dear sister earlier before airtime tonight, and we were talking about Revelation chapter 6 and that first seal. And when I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And then that second seal was the red horse, and power was given unto him to take peace from the earth. And then the third seal is the black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands and brings in famine. And that fourth seal is hell and death. Revelation 6:8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed after him. And hell followed with him. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And what do we read there? Isaiah chapter 28. It says here, starting in verse 14, Isaiah 28, 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. That's the fourth horse of the apocalypse. And here we see that same concept of death and hell personified in Isaiah 28:15. And that is in the context of the time of Jacob's trouble going into the great tribulation. How do I know that? Look down in the same passage, look down to verse 21. Isaiah 28:21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Isn't that absolutely crazy? Absolutely crazy. Lotan has a question. He says, I agree with you, angels mating with humans, but I have heard 1 Corinthians 15:40-41. Let's turn there. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15:40-41. And Lotan is saying that he has heard it used as a proof text against the idea that angels had sex with human beings. Let's take a look. 1 Corinthians 15:40-41. 1 Corinthians 15:40. Let's get the context. Let's start in verse 38. Lotan has a question. Is 1 Corinthians 15:40-41 a proof text against the idea of angels having sex with human beings? We're going to start in verse 38. 1 Corinthians 15:38, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Now, I don't see how that applies to Genesis chapter 6 or Jude chapter 1 or Job chapter 1. In these two verses, 40 and 41, Paul is simply telling us that God has created all these entities with their own body. Some of them have bodies just like we do, and some of those have bodies that are very different from ours. And you just reminded me of this verse, which may solve the problem here. The Bible says, turn to Revelation 21, verse 17. Turn to Revelation 21, 17. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. All through the Bible, we read that angels look just like men. And that's one of the amazing things. When we look in the Bible, we see that the bodies of angels are very, very, very similar to the bodies of human men. And in fact, all through the Bible, when angels appeared to people, most of the time, the people thought that they were talking with a man. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. The Bible says this, that be not forgetful in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews 13, verse 2. How is it possible that you could entertain an angel unawares? Wouldn't you know it if you were looking at an angel? Maybe you wouldn't. Because in the Bible, when angels appear to men, they look just like men. Here's a good one. Turn to, let's see here. Turn to Genesis chapter, where is that in Genesis, talking about the men of Sodom? Turn to Genesis 19. Turn to Genesis 19. And here's a really good example of what I'm talking about. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 5. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 5. And there came two, and Lotan, this is going to answer your question. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, the angels said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men?" Talking about the angels. "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now, do you see what's happening here? The men of Sodom are looking at the angels, and they think that they are looking at human men. Lot says that he invites the angels into his house. He wants to feed them. He wants to give them a bed to sleep in. Can you see what's happening here? These are angels from heaven, and they are interacting with human beings. And the men of Sodom have no idea that they are talking to angels from heaven. Now, the part that I don't want you to focus on is the part that they want to have homosexual sex with the angels. That's not the part that we're looking at tonight. The part that I want you to focus on is Lotan was asking, is it possible that 1 Corinthians 15, 40 and 41 is a proof text against angels having sex with women, when here human men want to have sex with angels? So I would have to say no. 1 Corinthians 15, 40 and 41 is absolutely not a proof text against that idea. And Genesis 19, 1 through 5, really very strongly shows you the idea that it is highly possible for angels to have sex with human beings. And of course, in Genesis 19, it's being perverted by homosexual sex. But in Genesis chapter 6, it is heterosexual sex. And that was a really good question, and thank you for bringing that up. Now, let's continue. Let's continue with our look tonight. We are looking at fallen angels. We're looking at giants. Clarence Larkin says in his great book called The Spirit World, "The scriptures are full of the supernatural. the only cure for the materialism of the present day is to discover what the spirits, what the scriptures reveal as to the spirit world. Larkin says, there is but a step from the natural world to the spirit world. The dividing veil is our fleshly bodies. The heavenlies are populated with spirit beings. And we talked about them. Seraphim, cherubim, wicked spirits, angels. And there are thrones and dominions and fallen angels and spirits in prison. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verses 18 through 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 20. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So here we see that there are spirits that are in prison. There are seducing spirits. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times, our time, some shall depart from the faith. And we were talking this morning about Chuck. I forgot his name already. I forget his last name. But we were talking about people who departed from the faith. And Paul says that these things will happen in the last times. And that is absolutely our time. Chuck Baldwin. And we spoke about him this morning. He now teaches replacement theology. He has fallen away from the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So there are seducing spirits, there are fallen angels, there are spirits in prison. Ephesians chapter 6, what a great passage, talking about the spirit world, written by our apostle, the apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is talking about the spirit world. And Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not rocks and guns and knives and sticks and clubs. Paul says, starting in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These are things that happen in the spirit world. These things are the things that are not seen, but they are very, very, very real. And the Bible talks about things that are not seen. Hebrews, Hebrews 11:1, one of the greatest passages talking about the spirit world. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you want proof of the spirit world, I just gave it to you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews, in the same chapter, verse 7, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah warned of God of things not seen, as yet being moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is of by faith. So God warned Noah about things that cannot be seen with your eye. And Noah believed what God told him, and he built that ark. And all through the Bible, we read about things that are invisible, but they are so very real. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that amazing? They may be invisible, but that doesn't mean that they're not real. When's the last time that you've seen electricity? When's the last time that you've seen air? And how many seconds can you go without breathing air? But you can't see it. And yet, that's what keeps you alive, is the fact that air goes in and out of your lungs. We have to take a quick break, but we have so much more to talk about. And we are going to cover a few more aspects of the spirit world. Stay with us. We still have an action-packed 30 minutes left to go.
For the sun is coming home.
Amen, amen. We are talking about the spirit world tonight. But before we conclude with our look tonight into the spirit world, remember, if you're planning on coming to St. Augustine so that you can be here for the opening of our bookstore on May 21st, Lord willing, and May 22nd, we are going to have the first ever NTEB camp meeting. And about 120 of you have signed up already to come to St. Augustine, Florida, and to be a part of this. If you're coming, this is the week where you need to register. Go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on the banner. That banner is at the top and bottom of every single page. Please register so that we know who you are, because we have to lock in the catering. We're going to have barbecue. We have to lock in the things that we need for the facilities and for the restrooms and for everything else. So please, if you are planning on coming to St. Augustine, Florida, for the weekend of May 22nd, that's Pentecost weekend, might even be the rapture weekend, who knows? That's what we're praying for. But if you can make it to St. Augustine, Florida, please go to nowtheendbegins.com. We need you to register this week. Charlton is asking, will we have the 7-foot bookshelf from Dr. Ruckman available in our bookstore? And the answer to that is yes. We will be rolling out the official NTEB online bookstore sometime this week coming up. It's almost done. It's almost finished. But the shipping, we still haven't figured out the shipping component quite accurately. So it's not available for public use. But Lord willing, we're going to have that problem figured out this week. And yes, we will be selling the 7-foot bookshelf that Dr. Ruckman recommended. We're going to be selling Genesis 6 Giants from Steve Quayle. We're going to be selling Chick Tracks that are branded with Now the End Begins. We're going to be selling all the major books from Clarence Larkin, like Dispensational Truth and Rightly Dividing and the Book of Revelation and the Spirit World that we've been reading from tonight. And we are going to have about 100 different books in our bookstore, and we're very, very excited by that. So, again, if you are planning on coming to St. Augustine for the weekend of the bookstore opening and the camp meeting, please go to nowtheendbegins.com and register this week. Candy Apple says, I hope someone will share the preaching with you so you don't wear yourself out. We are going to have some special guests that will be, Lord willing, will be joining us for the camp meeting. It's not going to be just me. Not going to be just me. Hopefully not. It might be. You never know. The Lord's funny that way. If it is just me, then I have no problem. I'll be faithful to the Lord's call to do that. But as it stands right now, we will be having some other guest preachers. It's going to be very low tech. It is going to be literally an old fashioned camp meeting. There's going to be singing. There's going to be preaching. There's going to be praying, and there's going to be testimonies. If those things excite you, if preaching and teaching and hearing testimonies about Jesus Christ, if that excites you, then by all means, come to our camp meeting. If you're looking for high tech, if you're looking for widescreen TVs, if you're looking for expensive sound systems, if you're looking for musical entertainment, you will not find that at our camp meeting. If you want to know what type of camp meeting that we're going to have, watch the movie Sheffy. That will show you very clearly what type of camp meeting that we intend on having. We are having an old-fashioned, Christ-honoring camp meeting. And it's going to be not just low-tech, but there's going to be no-tech. No flat screen TV, no fancy sound systems. We are just going to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. We're going to have a couple preachers besides myself. We're going to have some testimonies. We're going to have a prayer time. We're going to have a food time. And I've thought about this for 30 years, and I am excited that the Lord is bringing it to pass. Satman is saying, will there be singing of Kumbaya? The answer is no. We are not Roman Catholic. We will not be singing Kumbaya. Jeanette is saying, I hope you will record the camp meeting. Well, it's going to be 6 hours long. It would have to be an extended tape. But if you want to know what type of camp meeting that we're planning on having, watch the movie Sheffy. And that will show you exactly what type of camp meeting that we plan on having. All right, we have about 20 minutes left. Let's conclude our look at some of the things that are taking place in the spirit world. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we read this, verse 11, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2, 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Why are we not ignorant of the devices of Satan? Because we have a Bible which shows us what those devices actually are. And in that book, the Bible, and we use the King James Bible, and not just use it, we believe it. I personally believe that the King James Bible is the preserved word of God. And I believe the King James Bible to the exclusion of every other one of the modern versions. Now, you may find that too narrow of a position to take, but that is the position that I have taken for the last 30 years. I was King James only for about 3 years before I ever even knew that there was a person by the name of Dr. Ruckman and that a thing called Ruckmanism even existed. I was King James only for a couple of years before I ever even heard of something called Ruckmanism. I think Dr. Ruckman was one of the greatest Bible teachers of the 20th century. But I did not become King James only when I heard about Dr. Ruckman. I was King James only from the moment that I got saved on March 14th, 1991. Now, the Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan because the Bible tells us what those devices are. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8 presents Satan as a roaring lion. And Peter tells you, you better be sober, you better be vigilant. And when you see that word sober in the Bible, that doesn't just mean be serious-minded. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. One of the greatest problems that the Christian church deals with today is alcohol, wine, and spirits. We're talking about the spirit world tonight. Why do you think that hard alcohol is referred to as spirits? Why do you think that is? why is it that when you ingest these spirits into your body, it changes how your mind thinks? Have you ever wondered about that? Somebody gets drunk and they lose all their inhibitions and they do things that they would never do normally. Alcohol is one of the devices of Satan. First Peter, and yes, I said that. And Christians need to guard themselves against it. Alcohol will wreck your life. Lorianne just said, because it invites the spirit world in. Alcohol will wreck your life. And when I got saved as an alcoholic. And believe me when I tell you, I hate alcohol. I really, truly do. And I have struggled with that for a large portion of my life, but God gave me the victory in Jesus Christ. I haven't had a drink in years, and I rejoice in that, but I know that if I lose my focus, I could easily be pulled back down that same path if I'm not careful. So what do I do? What does Peter say? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Stay away from beer, wine, spirits, because those spirits will put you smack dab in the middle of the spirit world. And that is not one place that you want to be. Have you ever noticed how alcohol and spirits, they make you weak? They make you weak physically. They make you weak emotionally. I have counseled many, many times with people who were absolutely emotional wrecks. And it was mostly due to the fact that they had been drinking. And that changes your outlook. It changes your moods and your thoughts and your feelings. The first couple of drinks make you feel so good. And then the last couple of drinks wreck your life. Satman has a question. My father was a Gideon. Was your father's Bible he had from a motel room that you were saved with a King James Version Bible? Absolutely. The Bible that my dad had taken from the hotel room, he had taken it back in the 1960s. And that was back in the days when the Gideon Bible and Tract Society, the main Bible that they used was the King James Bible. And I can promise you that that Gideon's Bible that my dad took from the hotel room, the one that I got saved on, that Bible was a King James Bible. And I thank groups like the Gideons for being faithful. And they still have the King James, and we still provide that to people. You can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you can get one of our gospel toolkits. And our gospel toolkits come with pocket versions of the Gideon's King James New Testament. So you can get that here at Now the End Begins. But Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what he wants to do is he wants to devour you. And Paul says that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. And one of the ways that you remain not ignorant of the devices of Satan is that you read and believe your King James Bible. The Bible says that Satan was the anointed cherub that covereth. And he decided to leave his place. He said, the Bible says that Satan dwelt in the garden of God in Eden. And Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Turn to Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19. And we get this look at Satan. Ezekiel 11. Hold on. Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19. And this gives us the inside track on Satan. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workman of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the days that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. The Bible says that Satan was one of the anointed cherubs that covered the throne room of God. And he decided he didn't like being the guard to the throne room. God doesn't need a guard, but he is pleased to honor his creation and to give them that spot of honor. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, talking about Christians, born again Christians who get raptured. The Bible says this, Revelation 5 verses 9 and 10. This is us in heaven. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's what we're going to be doing during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:10, and has made us, the body of Christ, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. How exciting is that? Well, Lucifer was given a position, and he was given a position outside the throne room of God, and he didn't want it. He wanted the throne room, and he was lifted up with pride. He was lifted up with envy. He was lifted up with jealousy. And now Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to trip up me, and he wants to trip up you. And he knows that he can't make you lose your salvation. He can't take your soul, but he can crush your testimony. And that's why Christians need to be very careful where they spend their time. Christians should not be going to happy hour. Christians should not be going to the bar. If you have Christian friends who want to take you out drinking, if you want to keep your testimony, do not go. And that is something that in our day, we live in a period of time that Paul calls the last days, and everybody just wants to be loosey-goosey, and this is all part of the great falling away. This is all part of the Laodicean spirit that has infected the church. And if you want to preserve your testimony, you need to stay away from the bars, from the happy hour, from all those things, and you need to run away from those things. You need to open up your King James Bible, and if you have friends, Christian friends, that want to take you out drinking, you need new friends. You need better friends. You need different friends. And that is what, in 1 Peter 5:8, he says that your adversary, the devil, And Henarez 13 says, and the weed store too. That's right. Unless you're dying of some incredible disease and your body is racked in pain, you have no business smoking medical marijuana. Christians should not be messing around with that stuff. All those things, pills and pot and booze, they change the way that your mind thinks, and you make different decisions when you're under the influence of pills and alcohol and marijuana. Christians should not be messing with any of that stuff. If it is something that changes the way that you think, you should not be using it. Now, CBD, there is no psychoactive thing in that. I thought a couple of years ago that I might get involved with that, and I tried it. And there's nothing wrong with CBD because there is no psychoactive part to it. It doesn't get you high. But once I got involved with it, I just didn't feel that the Lord was pulling me in that direction. But Paul says this in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, and covetous, and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul says this, that in the last days we're going to have perilous times. And Peter says that we need to be sober and vigilant because these entities from the spirit world, they're looking to trip us up. And they will if you allow them to do that. So don't let anybody take your sobriety. Don't let anybody take your diligence. And most of all, do not let anyone take your blessed hope. Titus 2:13 says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of the doctrines that came bubbling back to the forefront after the Reformation and after the publication of the King James Bible and after the end of the Spanish Inquisition and when the Bible had free course once again, when the true church was broken out from the Roman Catholic Church, one of the glorious doctrines that had been preached in the early church and then had gone silent for almost 1500 years, the Bible doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And in the late 1700s, early 1800s, Bible teachers, once again with a King James Bible, opened up the scriptures and learned from the Apostle Paul, not from Mary MacDonald, not from John Nelson Darby, not from C.I. Schofield, not from Clarence Larkin, but Bible preachers and teachers once again opened up the Bible and they learned from the Apostle Paul and from the Apostle John and even from Solomon in Song of Solomon about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We call that our blessed hope. Do not let anyone steal your blessed hope. We read this in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Song of Solomon chapter 2 shows us a beautiful picture of the bride and her beloved. And in the springtime, her beloved calls to her. He is skipping on the hills across the mountains. And her beloved calls to her and gives her a message. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 10 through 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. That Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 10 through 13. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. That's the blessed hope of the church. Do not let anyone steal from you your blessed hope. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. As always, I thank you so very much for tuning in tonight and for being part of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. I hope that it was a blessing to you. Please share our links with your friends. Invite people to listen to these programs with you. People are getting saved. Saved people are learning the Bible, and it is absolutely such a blessing, and it excites me, and I love hearing all these testimonies from people on how the Lord is using us as a church family, as the body of Christ, and how he is blessing the work of our hands that we're doing for him. This is how we earn crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. And please invite people, share our links, and preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another edition of our NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Shall come.